You're listening to The Comedy Cellar, live from the table on the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Comedy Cellar Show here on Sirius XM Channel 99. My name is Noam Dorman. I'm the owner of the Comedy Cellar. I'm sitting here, as always, with the emetic Mr. Dan Natterman.
Emetic? You're talking about throwing up?
Yeah.
Anti-emetic.
The anti-emetic Mr.
Emetophobe.
I know that's what you are.
Emetophobe.
As always.
Quite frankly, I don't know how anybody is not an emetophobe.
Alingan Mitra is a stand-up comedian whose numerous credits include Harvard.
I did not write that.
The Late Show with Stephen
That's what
Colbert.
I get brought up as.
I was the crowd there.
Trevor Noah, and most importantly, can be seen regularly at the Comedy Cellar. And Jason Weissman is a senior.
Jordan Weissman.
Come on, man.
It's great.
You know why I did that? You know why I said? Because you remind me a little bit of Jason Zinnemann from The Times.
Okay.
It was in my head.
Honestly, I get called. So everyone messes up Jordan. For all of high school, my friends called me Gordon. Just like it just became a thing. That became my name.
I was literally thinking Jason. Jordan Weissman is a senior editor at Slate, where he covers economics, public policy, and politics, and Jew issues from time to time.
From time to time. Which, once in a blue moon.
Which interests me. Okay, so we had a big week in comedy.
Big week in comedy, obviously.
Oh, and our producer, Periel Aschenbrund.
Unbelievable.
All right. I kind of like it when you just chime in and they don't even know you're here. Go ahead.
Sort of the Robin Quivers to your Howard Stern.
Hey. I'll take that as a compliment.
Shane Gillis. Who I had never heard of, by the way, until the past couple of days.
Same
but apparently
here.
He's a Philly or a Pennsylvania-based, I guess he started in Philly, I believe, comedian that I was not familiar with, but he was hired to be a featured player on SNL and then fired shortly thereafter because somebody dug up some podcast clips of him saying, among other things, chink.
Chink, over and over again.
Well, what exactly did the podcast? Because I tried to find it, and it was already taken offline today.
It was offline?
No, it's all over
Twitter.
Yeah, I mean,
Dan's not good at this.
I saw it a few days ago, and somebody said, like, how did Chinatown get started? Oh, somebody put up a weird building and said, oh, let the chinks live there.
I think there's a line at one point where he's like, why do so many fucking chinks live there? Why are there so many fucking ducks in the windows down there? It becomes a whole thing. There's a whole kind of weird aside about Chinese food and MSG,
talk about the ducks in the window either.
There's not really a joke. That's the thing. That's part of it. That's part of what
know.
I think. There's a lot going on.
I thought the end part was jokey though.
Where he's like,
you'd say, oh, I don't want spicy food, and they're like, oh, the spicy food. You know,
That was a little bit of a bit. That was close to a bit.
Yeah.
Did he say, because I didn't hear that, did he say, why do all the chinks live in Chinatown?
I missed that part.
Or something like that.
I think he said, how did Chinatown get started? Somebody built a weird building and said, let the chinks live here. But the other line about why do all the chinks live in Chinatown, I don't know that he said it or not.
I might be.
Let me tell you what I think about this, and then you guys can comment on it. What worries me here, and I'm not that familiar with what it was actually said. But in general, I feel like we're living in an age of almost willful misinterpretation of words and intentions. And I'll give you another example that happened this week that's related. So the New York Times tweets out, you may think getting an unwanted penis in your face is harmless. Good, is your idea of harmless fun, but blah, 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 blah.
Referring to Kavanaugh.
And the Times got in big trouble for that and had to withdraw the tweet. Now, I understand the tweet is not well written. But they're coming at this as if they really think the people tweeting that were saying that getting an unwanted dick in your face was some harmless fun. Where clearly, they're making a subtle kind of sarcasm. Like you might, like if I thought you were a racist, I might say, listen, you might think going out and beating up some black guys is harmless fun. But in other words, there's a subtext to it, which everybody.
I do think it's harmless fun.
nobody thinks that those two reporters from the Times actually meant that this was harmless fun. So it's almost finished. So similarly here, there is a kind of brand of comedy where they purposely just speak in this kind of outrageous way. And it's like, fuck you, we're going to talk about it the way we want to, and that's part of the end. And you may not find it funny, but a lot of people do find it funny. I don't care whether it's funny or not. But I think it's a real stretch to... And this was like with Luis Gomez and all those guys, people of color.
Well, Luis...
He was on one of those podcasts.
Okay.
It's a real stretch to take this stuff literally and not understand that in some way... This is a genre.
So this is where it comes back to like whether or not there was actually a joke. I think part for me, at least watching it.
It's performance art. It doesn't need to be a joke. Just the fact that you're talking that way.
Well, so to me, it's like I remember having conversations. Cards on the table, right?
Yeah.
Like, I remember when I was in high school. Right. Again, the second time I'm mentioning high school, but like high school, I definitely had conversations that sounded like that with friends. And, like, sometimes we'd have them just, like, throwing, like, back beers because, you know, like, degenerates, whatever. But and sometimes we'd have them in the fucking hallway or whatever. And we thought we were being funny. And I look back on that with a lot of fucking shame. Like, I'm like, oh, this, you know, actually it was just a bunch of kids luxuriating and saying, you know, a word they're not supposed to and kind of getting off on it. And I was watching them do their bit. And I was like, I can't tell how this rises beyond that. I can't see anything. Like, just, I can't see how this is more than them. And... At the same time, I went back and I watched some of his actual comedy, right? Like, so I actually watched some of his routines that, like, he gets up on stage and does. And he's, like, I would say they were really funny. He's really good at actually kind of threading that needle where he's like, I'm from a working class town in Pennsylvania that is Trump country, and I now live in Philadelphia. And, yeah, I kind of have, like, I'm sort of at cross purposes with myself. Like, I have a little of these racist instincts. And I try to fight them, but I bet you have them too. Like, that's actually kind of the substance of his routine, and it's kind of drawing the crowd in and saying, you're also culpable. And this wasn't that. It was just something...
But it was that guy.
Yeah, I know. It was that guy.
So you're kind of making my point. So now all of a sudden, I didn't even know what you're saying. All of a sudden, you're saying, well, this... I can either just judge him and pretend I don't know anything else about the guy and say, well, this is the guy just calling somebody chink. Or I can say, no, a reasonable person would say, well, no, this is a guy, and his fans certainly know... his character, the previous things that he said, and they know who he is and where he's coming from, and maybe this came out badly. It's a podcast. Maybe he wish he could, you know.
I think the thing is.
But you're kind of seem to be advocating. Like we're gonna put a bright line between all the other stuff that I've seen of him where he does it well, and this time he didn't do it well, and we're going to pretend that it's not one person and judge him as one person. Don't interrupt me.
Wait, but listen, everybody has... This guy was just spewing shit. This is not why SNL hired him. Like, SNL hired him because he...
I'm trying to get to my... that's why I said don't interrupt, because you're taking me off the point, which is... Your point is legit. We can get to that. What I'm making a point is that we're living at a time when we will willfully cordon off all other information and common sense we might have about an incident, take the words and say, well, no, you said a penis is your harmless good time. You must have meant you think a penis is a harmless... But clearly you didn't.
I think the people who get offended by it are saying it's tone deaf for, like, the penis situation. They're not saying, like, oh, this person
heard actual liberal
attacks. I'm sure there are people on the Twitter.
Yeah, but Twitter's a straw man machine. Yeah.
Not like, Twitter, I saw articles about it. I did not see one article or tweet saying... Yeah, it was a bad tweet, but that's not what they meant.
Well, isn't meant for that.
Well, I don't want to get... Or nobody, article. I've not heard one human being stick up for... I've heard not heard one human being stick up for the Times.
Let's not get bogged down in that. Let's talk more about Shane.
Even with the Shane thing, even if it is a genre, the question is, do people find it offensive at that point? And if they find it...
Who cares?
I think those people,
SNL cares.
Do they find Chappelle offensive? Bill Burr offensive?
But this is what I was trying to say. I think SNL didn't hire him because of his, you know, how good he is at podcasting. SNL hired him because they thought he was really a killer stand-up.
Well, first of all, I don't know that SNL hires people because they're killer stand-ups, because being a killer stand-up has little to do with SNL, unless you're doing a bunch of characters in your stand-up.
Okay, whatever. But they thought he was funny, and then they saw this thing, and they're like, oh, shit, people are reacting poorly to this, and we don't want to be culpable. We don't want to participate in this. It was a business decision. That's what I think.
Yeah. I mean, there's a separate issue of, like, what was SNL thinking, and how is...
Or NBC.
There's NBC's reaction, NBC, like their business decision, and there's what the public was thinking, public's reaction.
They had cover not to do it. Andrew Yang came out and said they shouldn't do it. I think Chris Cuomo came out and said not to do it. There were people, and Don Lemon, there were people who are not Trump supporters and who have good credentials on being racially sensitive.
Yeah.
Who said, like, you don't fire somebody for that.
I want to hear you were making a point, though, but that I wanted to hear you get
to. If the people are getting offended, we can't be callous and just say, okay, well, that's your fault.
We have to be.
Why?
Because otherwise, we become hypocrites overnight. Because sooner or later...
We're all hypocrites.
The way to not be a hypocrite is say, they were jokes.
Well,
say whatever you want. Does everybody remember that Eddie Murphy's first track on his album was called Faggots? I mean
that was a different era as well. Like, it's hard to
not everything ages,
impose that.
But Eddie Murphy's going to be back on stand-up. Is anybody?
Yeah,
are they going to unearth that and be like, Eddie Murphy can't perform?
If in 2018 he was going around yelling that, it would be an issue.
Can you give me an objective standard by which you can tell me who should get fired and who shouldn't?
That's the whole point.
This comes back to the business part of it, right?
I'm talking about fairness. I'm saying, like...
Well, I don't think they should have hired him in the first place if they thought... If they honestly, they did him a disservice by not actually vetting him. Because at this point, you know everyone who gets hired onto that show, any major public position, is going to get put through the fucking ringer. And you have to make a judgment about whether or not your audience and the people that you've been courting, and SNL's pretty resistancy these days, has been, whether or not they're going to actually survive that process.
You can't listen to every podcast and watch every video, but if his comedy is as what you're describing, they might have gotten an inkling that this was a possibility. I'm surprised they hired him because he doesn't see... I don't know much about the guy. I know he auditioned here, Noam, actually, and...
I found him offensive.
SNL's hires are generally not that kind of frat-like kind of a guy, you know? I mean, he doesn't fit the profile of the average SNL hire as far as I can see.
He was their diversity hire. They wanted a Republican.
Maybe they wanted...
Or they wanted a conservative.
I'm sorry. You have... you know what? I have to really push back against you guys. You have Sarah Jeong.
Well, we're
Hold on.
We didn't finish.
Hold on. This is in that point.
I don't think we ever got to end of your point.
No, this is your point.
You were yelling at me for interrupting.
You have Sarah Jeong, the editorial board of the New York Times, tweeting out harsher jokes, racial jokes than that. About I don't enjoy anything as much as seeing a white guy suffering and all kinds of stuff. And this was quite offensive to a lot of people. And she's on the editor, not a comedian. And then she's on the editorial board of the New York Times. And I'm telling you that this is to pick and choose offensive here is it disgusts me. Either somebody lay out some objective standard and say, okay, well, here are the rules, and you knew the rules when you said it, so that's it. Or, you know what? Just shut up and let people say what they want. Say what they want about Jews. I don't care.
But what about as a business decision, Noam? Do you think as a purely business decision, and you're a businessman who has to make these sorts of decisions, it was the right move on SNL's part?
No, I don't.
Now, why not? What should they have done?
I think they should have said these were jokes. I think that, listen, it's just like the Rotten Tomatoes thing that everybody's seen about Chappelle's special. I guess like 27% critics rating and 99% audience ratings. People are, I'm spinning it back. People are not Twitter. I don't know what actually NBC would have been up against if they had fought for him.
But it would have blown over. There are also the other people on SNL, right? Like, how are the other comics going to feel? Like, they hired their first ever, their first Asian American comic ever, essentially.
Which is also insane. Can we talk about that for a second?
We may or may not get to that. But
I bet you the SNL comedians were not that.
By the way, I
don't know.
Here's a picture, Noam, of our man, Mr. Shane Gillis. He looks In this picture, hold on a second now, he looks slightly Asian. I've never seen the man in person, but Tom, if you look at that picture, if you look at this picture, he looks like a cross between.
he's just squinting.
He's not just squinting. He has Asiatic features. I suspect if he did a 23andMe, he might be in for a surprise.
Now, what if that comes back and he turns out to be 36% Asian? Does that change any?
Well, let me ask you this.
I doubt that he's 37% Asian, but he might have some. There could be some Asiatic percentage.
Okay, if he had said on the podcast, "Oh man, it's kind of sick how much joy I get out of being cruel to old Chinese people."
Are Chinese
people genetically disposed to burn faster than the sun, thus logically being only fit to live underground like groveling goblins? Now, this is what I changed it from white to Chinese. This is what Sarah Jung said in the Times.
Yeah.
Now, the Times didn't seem to think it was a necessary business decision, but the thing is, this is more outrageous than what this guy did because she's not kidding here.
Okay, but there also isn't like a history of oppression.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's
there's a history of oppression of Chinese people?
Yeah.
Really? Where is that?
Like the railroads?
Yeah. I mean, in the 1800s?
All sorts of rules.
So our objective standards are going to be you can say what you want about white people. You can get away with some things about Jewish people. I'm not condoning that. And Chinese people, because of the... Well, Jews have a history of oppression, don't they?
Jews, it's complicated.
I don't know. They seem to be doing fine.
Really? But are Chinese people oppressed today?
I mean, you would have to ask them.
They're the highest earning people in the country.
Ronnie Chang wouldn't come on the show.
They're so oppressed that we have to limit them to 20% in universities. And they're so oppressed that we're getting rid of gifted programs in New York City schools.
How many CEOs of American companies, like percentage-wise, are Asian?
I don't know. You're throwing out numbers. No, I'm saying
there is like they call it like the bamboo ceiling, right? Where like Asians aren't hired into the corporate position.
So this podcast guy is supposed to know that. Well, I heard Sarah Jung say this kind of stuff, but I can't say that stuff because you know how many CEOs. This is crazy talk.
I'm not saying the rules aren't slightly complicated,
but there are rules.
What would a Lingon as a Des American? Is that the word Des?
No, not at all.
Desi?
Desi, I guess, like Indian American.
Desi, but that encompasses Bangladesh and Pakistan.
Pakistan. Sri Lanka, Nepal.
Now, you guys don't get along over there.
No.
Over here, you're all Daisies.
So you're upset with Chappelle's show?
No. I don't even think he should have been fired.
Should Netflix stop showing Chappelle's show?
No, I think...
Why not? He said worse.
Oh, I'm not saying Chappelle. I'm saying the guy who said Chink.
I want you to give me a standard why you think NBC should fire this guy. But
he didn't say
Netflix, I just said he shouldn't get fired.
You don't think she should get fired?
No, I think he doesn't like it, but he doesn't think she should get fired.
I haven't heard you defending. I've only heard you saying what he did was wrong.
You don't have to defend the things that he's saying for him to... Like, I think you should have a conversation. But when you fire somebody, you don't have the conversation.
No, I said it shouldn't matter what he says. And you disagreed.
Yeah, no, I do think people find it offensive, and you need to have the conversation with the people who find it offensive. If they tell you, hey, look, like I'm not Asian, so I can't tell you about the history of oppression, right? But there are people who are knowledgeable about that, who he could have a conversation with, he could learn from, and if he finds it, oh, yeah.
Well, he apologized.
Oh, he didn't really. He was like, if you find it offensive, fine.
All right, whatever.
But he didn't have the conversation with the people who found it offensive, right?
How's he going to have a conversation with the people?
You don't think there are people who...
You can have probably one or two people, but there are thousands of people who are offensive.
Sure, there are multiple people who...
Should take a sensitivity class and talk about it with people who are knowledgeable about the oppression of Asians in America.
Dude, I would support
learn
that. About why Chink might be offensive to them.
He knows why Chink is offensive. That's why he was using it.
Otherwise, he wouldn't use it so... cavalierly.
No, I think that's exactly why he was using it, wasn't? I mean, he was trying to be a jerk. Like, that was the whole point.
But he wouldn't use the N-word, right?
I mean, I don't know.
I think it's safe to assume that he wouldn't use the N-word.
I would actually veer in the other direction.
Well, no, he wouldn't. Asian Americans are considered safe to gently rib, if you will, because, first of all, they're not as likely to respond with a uppercut to the jaw.
Jesus Christ, really?
Well, I'm just saying, I mean, you know, you're more physically intimidated by black people generally, are you not?
That's not why, Dan. Come on.
Out fucking ridiculous.
Well, I think
you know, we should cancel this fucking show. This is just a waste of time.
Why? What are you getting so agitated?
Because
about?
The N-word has a specific...
I was getting to that, but you didn't let me finish. Secondly, the history of oppression in the United States. Asians are a soft target. So you're going to deny that? You're going to deny that they're a softer target?
Say he won't use the N-word.
But in addition to that, the history of oppression is vastly different, and the word has vastly different subtext.
The reason he won't use the N-word has nothing to do with the Chinese. It has to do with everything about the N-word. That's my point. He won't use the N-word because...
I'm contrasting the N-word with the C-word, if we don't want to use that.
And by the way, comedians used to use the N-word. Chris Rock, on Earth, just a few years ago, using it with Louis on air and laughing about it. So there's no standard here. They make it up as they go along. And the worst part about it is it's retroactive. But everybody keeps ducking. Well, I mean, I feel like you're, with all due respect, Olinga, I feel like you're talking out of both sides of your mouth in a sense that, yeah, of course, I'm for him having a conversation with people who are offended. I always want to have a conversation with people who I might offend. Yeah. But that's not really the issue on the table. The issue on the table is can we identify some standard by which NBC was compelled to fire this guy, but Netflix is not compelled to not run Dave Chappelle's special or Bill Burr's special, or the New York Times is not compelled to chasten Sarah Jeong? Because if there is no standard that somebody could spell out for me, then this is just all very mob rule.
And we are
buckling to mob rule. And that's why I say we should let them say whatever they want, because mob rule is the enemy of all of us.
He can say it, but there are consequences to him saying it.
There shouldn't be. Because
if it's your audience and doesn't want to, if your audience doesn't want to hear it, right? It doesn't want to be entertained by that comedian.
What's the other ratings go? I bet you the ratings would have gone up.
I don't think this guy got fired because suddenly SNL didn't think he was funny, or NBC didn't think he was funny. Like, that's not why he got fired.
He thought he was a liability.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's shitty, though. I don't like what he said, and I don't agree with what he said, but I think that it's shitty that, like, all of a sudden they were like, ooh, this guy said these things. It's like, yeah, that's who he is.
Well, they're not being honest. In other words, they could have just said, look, we don't care what he said. We say it all the time, but we can't have him on our show.
So should MSNBC be required to fire Al Sharpton at this point?
Again, I don't think they should be fired. No. I think they should have conversations with the people who are getting offended.
So do we all agree that this guy got treated badly then by being fired?
I think that hiring him in the first place and then firing him the way they did, the whole process was shitty. I think, like, I don't know if anyone could defend, like, not doing any due diligence, finding something 10 minutes later in his background and be like, actually, never mind. That is super shitty.
It's hard to watch every podcast, listen to every podcast he ever did.
But the one journalist did. The one, like, found it pretty quickly.
It's not that hard.
I think someone found it.
It wasn't a journalist. No, it was somebody that was lying in wait, probably.
I agree with you.
I was told that... Somebody who's a Philly comic told me, I don't know if this is true, that they were lying in wait for this guy. They didn't like him. For years, they didn't like him.
He's been doing comedy for like 5 years total, I think.
For however long they didn't like him,
yeah.
and they were keeping track of shit that he was saying, and they sprung as soon as this was announced.
Well, isn't that even worse?
No, that's just a guy that didn't like him, another comic, I'm told, revealed this, and then the journalist ran with it. But in other words, it wasn't as though it's not easy to simply... vet somebody by listening to every single thing they've ever done.
Can I say something? Can I ask you? First of all, NBC has a bit of resources, and it seems perfectly logical that before they hired somebody, they would have three or four people say, listen, go on the internet, you have 3 days, listen to everything you can about this guy. We want to make sure we don't want this happening over and over. And they didn't.
That's true. Maybe they could have done that.
But having said that,
especially because they knew his act kind of went in that direction a little bit.
Yeah, I just think that.
Here's the thing I would like to see him get a chance to do. I'd like to know what the fuck he was thinking when he was on that podcast.
He was just being an idiot.
Yeah, maybe he was just being an idiot. And it's like, if he can, I don't think this guy needs to be shunned for the rest of his life. Like, yeah, people make fucking mistakes. He doesn't get to be on SNL because of it. I hope he doesn't go and do like the kind of, you know, right-wing grievance thing. I hope he like, you know, I think he seems like he's actually a talented guy who really fucked up. And he might get a chance to make amends by talking about things like Norman.
I think you guys, I'm not making myself
No, you, as always, point, you make your point no, very but, clear, but, as always.
But the point is...
You want him to be able to say whatever.
When Mel Gibson said all those crazy things about Jews...
Yeah,
he did say a lot of crazy things about
Jews. I never thought back then that they should stop letting him make movies. I'm like, this is... I never felt that way. So I just want to say that, like, just to show you where I've always been about this. I'm not picking and choosing.
Sure, but that's your opinion.
But, yeah, it's my opinion, yeah. But I'm saying no. So you don't think, like, he doesn't care about the Chinese, but if it was Jews, it'd be a different story. I've always been this way. But that was before this got out of hand. What I'm saying is that I think that we all ought to be scared and fighting against the idea that there is no standard to be found in what's transpiring here, which means that
we get it.
Everybody who might say the wrong thing has no way of gauging what the right thing, what the wrong thing is, and whether it's and this is something that all of us need to fight against because it's killing society.
I don't think that's true. I think if you're a white guy and you're making fun and you're using a racial slur kind of cavalierly, then yeah, you're going to get in trouble. That's pretty obvious at this point. Like that's not a hard standard to figure out.
So so the standard is now that anybody can make racial slurs except white people.
No, it's white people. No. I did not say that.
I'm asking.
We can dive into this, but I think like is one basic rule to live by if you're a white guy or like a Jewish guy is like, yeah, don't fling around racial slurs about other, you know.
What if you're using a word like that? George Carlin did.
Yeah, back in the day. Standards evolve.
And if you're gonna use it, you gotta be pretty aware when you're doing it. It didn't seem like that was the case here.
Right, but as I said, and if you it want didn't seem like that, but then apparently there's a broader character of this guy who I have no idea, and in that broader character, it does make sense.
Well, what were your impressions when you saw... Did you see his audition here?
No.
Oh, you didn't see it.
I have no idea who the guy is, but I know comedians, we know them, who... first of all, it's tempting sometimes to be outrageous. And in a podcast, you let your guard down, and I know comedians who have said worse... We all know
but
them.
That's not... What does that mean?
Meaning that
it just means you know comedians who have said worse.
Yeah, it means... And I don't...
Working on SNL.
This is why
either.
I say you're talking out of both sides of your mouth. So you do think he should be fired.
I don't think he should
clearly
be fired.
No.
I think you should have a conversation with
But he says clearly no, but then
offended.
He says, well, what... Well, he says worse.
Can I summarize Lingon's sentiment, if I may? And he can correct me if I'm wrong.
No, no.
He doesn't think he should be fired.
I don't want him to be fired. I am bothered by it.
You're bothered by it. Why are you bothered by it?
Because I don't think that's the right path to go down. Those people who are getting offended aren't airing their grievances to him, and he's not able to explain to them what he was thinking. You got to have the conversation. You have the conversation. If you land on different positions, then you can be like, all right, given that you still feel this way and that the majority are still very offended by it, we can make a decision to fire you.
But there's no explanation. It's like he said he is running to a spot. He's sorry. He can't do it. He was just being a jerk. Like, it was stupid.
Is that what he said?
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, it was stupid. Like,
but you're not an Asian American. Like, if you're Asian and you're just like...
How do you know I'm not Asian?
You're right. We can show a photo where you're squinting.
Well, I'm where your head is.
Noam
is leaving
just,
the table.
Just,
for,
all right.
I'm not sure why. I guess he's going to ask Mark Norman to join us. But by the way, I have heard it said that you know that that he might be better off in his career this way because now everybody knows who he is. Yeah. Had he been on SNL, it's possible he would have just gotten lost in the sauce and done one season.
I want you guys to know, though, I do have black friends. No, it's nice having black friends when the rest of your friends are just fucking goofy white guys. It's nice. You get some outside perspective, some advice. You just got to be careful of the advice you take from your black friends when it comes to, like, sex. When you look like Uncle Buck, it doesn't translate. Like, this is the advice my friend gave me when I went on a date with this chick. He was like, "Hey, yo, Shane, you don't want to go too deep in the pussy. She's always going to want the dick." I was like, you're worried about depth? Like, depth is a problem? I didn't even know they had depth. I'm just happy to be there. You're worried about, like, depth is an issue? He was like, "You don't want to give her the whole dick." I'm like, "That's all I have. What are you talking about?" I've never been, like, halfway in and been like, oh, you got to earn the rest of this dick.
This is Mark Norman.
We'll save that point for later, but...
Sorry. regular here at the Comedy Cellar, recently identified by Jerry Seinfeld as one of the, maybe his favorite comic in the country, I think is what he said.
Had lunch with him yesterday.
So go ahead. All what right. do you think about this guy being fired in SNL?
I get it. I think it's, I hate when people say there's no such thing as cancel culture. Well, what the hell is this? Secondly,
does anybody say that?
People say it all day long on Twitter.
Oh, okay.
And then they're saying, somebody had a great analogy about, it's like if I punch you in the face, that's illegal and a crime or whatever. But if we're in the octagon, then it's normal. And I feel like even though it wasn't funny, he was attempting to be funny. He was on a podcast. That's the octagon. You see what I'm saying? Just because he said a bad word.
Look, I come down on the side of, you know, I can't tell what was going on in his heart and in his mind. I don't know the man, but people that do know the man tell me his actions are not racist.
No,
and
I know the guy.
You know,
nice guy and a funny guy.
So why does he talk that way? What is that?
He was attempting humor. A pot, you got to fill air. You know.
Well, he also said, by the way, at least. And maybe he said other things over the years. He said, how was Chinatown created? Somebody built a crazy building and said, let the chinks live there. In other words, he was quoting
a character.
He was quoting
The word got used more than once. It wasn't in there. So there been multiple
I
so it wasn't just the one. Yeah.
I but he's only trying heard to be funny.
And it's a funny word. And, you know, it raises the heart rate. It's fun. It's fun to say horrible things.
I said before you came that it's tempting. But, you know, yes. Dan just made a really good point. I don't know that. If he's speaking, like, you know, through the... He's describing a racist mentality.
Yes.
And if that's the case, then I think he definitely should get a pass.
I guess we got to watch the video. Mark, what if he had said the N-word?
Did he say anything else, Mark? Did you see the podcast video?
Yeah, I saw it.
And what else did he say besides what we just said about Chinatown?
He said Jew chink. Andrew Yang's a Jew chink, which is hilarious. See? And then he said something about something that's gayer than ISIS. That's like poetry. Yeah. That's fucking hilarious.
A Jew chink.
So, yeah, and by the way, you know, even the N-word, John McWhorter, who's Columbia professor, black, just wrote a long column saying that he thinks it's ridiculous that nobody's allowed to say the N-word
in every song,
even if you're not using it with any intention or wielding it.
I agree with that. What I'm saying is people were offended by it, and so you talk to them and find out why they're offended. Well,
right?
Rather
always
than
offended.
Being so
who's not offended today? In today's people, are, you know, how many, I get emails for you motherfuckers all the time by people who are offended.
That's normal.
I'm serious. Like, I'm NBC here. Yeah. I get fucking emails from customers. You don't even know the kind of ridiculous things they're offended by.
Mm-hmm. Good.
I don't take action against you, and I don't even tell you to clean up your act.
Thank you.
Well, I said, you know what?
If you
not against Hamilton,
but you do. If you receive a critical mass,
yes, Hamilton. Somebody got offended by his hot air balloon routine one time.
What?
This is true.
But help me, God. But no, if you do receive a critical mass, you do change your policies, right? Like when Louis was here, you did change the way.
That's
you were
a different case. That's a different case.
How do you?
Because that was a sexual thing. That was a sexual
but
assault.
Quote
unquote.
People were
extracurricular.
No, hang on. You're missing. I don't know what you're referring to. I fucking put my head on the guillotine during that Louis thing, and I risked everything.
But you did change the policy.
To not what policy? Oh, that the people. No,
people can leave, and they don't have to pay. That wasn't a rule before.
Actually, it was always the policy, but it was never expressed.
It
was never stated.
Right.
I did that.
Why?
But that changed.
Why did you do that?
I did that because if people were offended, I wanted them to know you don't have to write us and ask for your money back and demand your hosting. I'll let you know up front. Mm-hmm. If you're offended, we only want money from customers who are happy here. Mm-hmm. So just go.
Just because you're offended
doesn't
mean you're right.
What I didn't fucking do is tell him that he couldn't perform.
Sure. Yeah.
That's the point.
And people think being offended now you get something for it. Yeah, just, okay, you're offended. That's it. Go on with your day.
Well,
get offended. Suck it up.
Did Mark, after all this came about, did you think back to the things you've said and done
of
on
course.
Podcasts and said to yourself, well,
I'm terrified.
Is there something in there that might be used?
I got a million chinks. I got a million retards.
I got another million
and one.
I
got a million of them. I'm trying to be funny. I have no hate in my heart. And that's the other thing. Where is the...
Well,
clearly, you know, I hate the Jews, but no.
But who doesn't?
More than they deserve. That's the key.
But here's my point. Let me just get this out without interruption. Please.
Yeah.
Heath, sit down. You're freaking me out.
That N-word shit.
And we're all at you if it helps.
Good.
All right. Here's the thing.
He's ableist too, Keith. But
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. If I see a cane, I kick it. Here's the thing. The guy's a... He's a douche, whatever, fat-faced honky from Pennsylvania. He sat down. He's trying to be funny. Somebody unearthed this thing, and now he's a public racist. We don't even know the guy. We don't even ask the guy. We don't even check in with the guy. We don't even research about anything good he's done or who he is as a person or what's in his heart.
He could be married to a chink for all we know.
He could be. He could be married to a slope. Who knows?
Let's examine the joke I just told.
No.
Would that joke... Now, that joke could certainly have offended somebody.
Well, that's Chappelle's joke, right?
No, but I use the word.
He is.
Now, obviously, I'm alluding to... The situation.
Obviously,
I'm not using the word. I'm making a joke about the word being used.
Well, that's out. That doesn't matter anymore.
That's right. But so it doesn't matter.
Let me give the counterpoint for like try to this again. I'm not Asian, but like if you're hearing someone use that word over and over again in routine, and you are Asian, or you're someone who's like sensitive to their point of view, you're wondering, is that person really trying to make a joke? Are they trying to make light of it, or are they just kind of having fun using something that makes me feel demeaned?
Yeah.
And that's the question in the back of your mind the entire time. And that's what the audience... And so there's, again, a lot of people... I mean, that's what I think you need to be sensitive to a degree.
Sure.
I don't think this guy deserves the death penalty for his career. I think that... The whole thing is, like, sad that SNL fucked up this way, that they hired a guy and then threw him to, you know...
They should get penalized as well.
But, like,
he shouldn't get death penalty for his career. They should have never allowed it to have been born.
Well, no, he could
have... Right, because they took it away.
They should have researched it, never let him have it to begin with.
I think he would have
been ahead of it. Like, figure out why. Like,
yeah, like, be aware. Or, like... Say, hey, we looked at your past. You said some fucked up stuff, and do you want to tell us what was going on here? Give him an opportunity, like knowing that this is going to happen.
We know what he would say. He'd say basically what Mark said. I was joking around. I'm on a podcast. It comes out awkward sometimes. You know, I mean, what could he say?
Keith is standing there.
Keith Robinson wants to
advise you to speak into
the... Keith represents both the challenged and the black community.
You're damn right.
and the gay community. I blew it.
No, I'm saying that people are blaming SNL for that, and like what I don't like is that everybody's going after SNL because they made a decision. So there's comics that work for SNL that
Keith
we
is
know.
Auditioning for the spot that got taken
and
away.
Exactly. Stop being ageist.
Good.
So I'm just saying it's like corporately, does SNL have something to do when all the people go after them corporate wise? So they didn't just fire him because. The fact that there's a lot of things that was involved with that, with the firing of him. Because the commercials or whatever corporations was going after SNL, that had to hurt too. Had something to do with their decision also.
We respect our elders, so we're going to let you finish, Keith.
I'm just making a damn good point. You don't have to respect it. It's a damn good point.
I don't understand the point.
You're
saying that it was just business? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
They had
to look at it.
But you agree with me, and you agree with the following. No, they look at it and they divine what they think the consequences will be. But I think you and I both agree that they get this wrong again and again and again. They respond in a panic to Twitter, and they don't trust the American people enough. And we talked about this before you came. The Chappelle thing is a perfect example. The country loves Chappelle's special, 99% on
Chappelle
Rotten Tomatoes.
Chappelle didn't say chinks.
The point is that Michael Jackson's victims are full of shit, and they should be happy that they, if you get molested, you should be happy you've been fucked by Michael Jackson. That's at least as offensive.
Noam's point, Keith, is that what Twitter says and what people think are two different things.
It wasn't just Twitter. Yeah. Okay. Y'all keep thinking it's Twitter because 30,000 people. No, there were like when Tide Lynn, I don't know if you remember.
Of course, we remember.
Said tsunami. Said something about a tsunami, and he lost his job. Everybody lost their job on the radio. Everybody.
Yeah, but Gilbert Gottfried.
Everybody.
Okay, so it's not just Twitter. Who is it?
What did I just say?
The public's always been able to get out.
No, I'm saying Saturday Night Live. Are they being inundated with emails? Or what's going on?
When somebody's faced with, they think they're going to lose money.
Keith, can I tell you that I think you're full of shit on this one?
I'm not.
Can I tell you why?
I'm just.
Can I tell you why you were furious when the Oscars didn't want to have Kevin Hart?
Well, that's a friend of mine.
Wait, but Keith, do you?
I mean, what the fuck is coming out of your mouth here?
Yeah, I'm saying, I'm shocked.
You're saying what? Kevin
no,
Hart said,
I'm
a faggot, I'm going to bash him out over his head. And he said, that's fucked up that the Oscars
say,
fired him. And now you're defending us. And now you know, go back and figure out a point and come back.
No, that's funny that you mentioned that, but I'm saying he still lost a job.
But you were furious about it.
I wasn't furious about it.
Oh, come on. Keith.
Wait, Keith, do you think that SNL made the right business decision?
For themselves.
Do you think had they kept Shane Gillis, it would have been very bad for their ratings and for their brand?
They helped. They thought that.
But do you think that's valid, though, in your opinion?
Noam
says
not.
It's not valid.
I don't know.
How does
I don't
Noam know.
I
think Az would have gone. Well,
here at the comedy show.
I doubt it.
How would he know what... Lauren Michaels is on.
No.
I talked to Che. They wanted to hire him because
I thought you were going to say
he's different. He's the whole show is woke central. It's very diverse, and he's the first kind of right leaning guy on there. And they thought, hey, this is a new voice.
Well,
this whole show is about counterculture.
My guess is they won't do that again.
That's the problem is they've cultivated this one very particular audience for 2 years now, and now they want to bring on this other guy who's that audience doesn't want to hear. I mean, like that's sort of they've. I mean, that's a problem for them.
This is a question. He is.
And
funny.
What has Alec Baldwin done? By the way,
go ahead. Don't worry about Alec Baldwin. Well, he's not a comic. I'm asking this. Does the comic have any responsibility?
No.
No?
I know it sounds crazy what I'm saying. I'm at the point now where I think the slippery slope is so quickly...
Whoa, don't say slope.
why can't I say slope?
Say it's an Asian slur.
You're canceled.
Who's going to win the erection in 2020, Keith? Anyway, I'm at the point now where the slippery slope and the hypocrisy comes so fast and fierce that I think the only way, I think I was right years ago and said, you know what, who gives a shit what Mel Gibson thinks about Jews? It's if a good movie, I'll see it, and if it's not a good movie, I won't. Because this is all too arbitrary. And to go back to the same case, Kevin Hart, we support. Chappelle, we support. This dude, we're going to throw under the bus. Sarah Jeong, we support. Roseanne Barr, she's done. Lisa Lampanelli, well, that's okay. But George Carlin said the N-word, that was a different thing. This is all bullshit. We're making it up as we go along.
Yes, and it's morally superior jerking off bullshit. It's just some guy wanting to pat himself on the back mostly. This guy doesn't give a shit about Asians.
It's also like kind of the market speaking, though, right? It's like, well, you'll see the show you want.
Well, we don't really know
some extent.
The market's
right.
I mean, Noam is right.
The public...
Norton won. Jim Norton.
Did you guys hear about Shane getting fired from SNL?
Listen, we went through this with the Louis thing.
Yeah.
And we were very worried about the market. It really, we had headlines after headline just blasting us. We were sure we were going to take a big hit.
I knew better than that.
And if we had buckled... I'd be making the same argument. Oh, the marketplace decided, you know, there were protests or this or that. But I decided, I said, you know, let's wait this out. Let's actually see. Because I would have buckled. I wasn't ready to go broke.
I agree that there's a lot of fake outrage, but when Asians are saying we're offended when somebody calls us chink.
I think it's real outrage.
Oh.
But I don't think that means they would stop watching. I was outraged by what Mel Gibson said. I still got to see Lethal Weapon. It's like, I can handle it. I know that guy's a fucking racist.
You're not everyone, though.
Right, but I believe it. I don't know that SNL would have been any different. I mean...
But then you're just saying, like, as long as the market is okay with it, what matters?
I'm saying, you know what? I think social norms matter more than anything else. And I think we used to have a social norm, which was more along the lines of people could say whatever the fuck they want. Geraldo could have David Duke on his show. Dick Cavett would have Lester Maddox on his show. Jesse Jackson could say,
and
I mean,
he had to a woman.
Al Sharpton said whatever the fuck he wanted, and he got criticized for it, but he was still up there on every TV show. Imus got fired for saying
nappy head ho.
He shouldn't have gotten fired for saying that. You didn't think he should get fired.
No, I didn't think he should get fired.
That's right.
Stop acting like this is something new.
Do you think...
This is nothing new.
Well, it's new with the comedians.
What about...
The comedians attacking comedians is
new. Do you think SNL's now opened themselves up? Basically, what they've said is, we're no longer... Our hiring decision is now going to be made by you, dear public. And next time we hire somebody, we're going to encourage you to tell us what we should be doing. In other words, they could have, if they said, fuck you, we don't care what you have to say, then maybe the next time they hired somebody, there wouldn't be outrage because the public would know. But we're not going to be able to influence SNL's
decision.
They
did defend Che when they hired Che. Che had some tweets that people were quote-unquote upset about, but they were fine with that.
And Eddie Murphy said fag 800 times, and he was the star of the show for 10
years. Who knows how many times Keith has said it. But by the way, the nappy-headed whole thing was a little bit different, I would say, only because he was actually speaking about a real person. Which is a not an arbitrary line. No. But he wasn't making a general joke. He was talking about the WNBA basketball players. You know, so it was a real insult at a real person. I still wouldn't have fired him.
Can I get back to the social norm thing?
Yeah,
I want to let Jordan, because this is sort of your standard.
He's a writer.
Yeah, I'm anti. I'm like the comedy like anti matter here. But like the okay, so your standard is. You think there should be a social norm where we just live and let live, anyone says. I think that people who are, the outrage mob, whatever you want to call them, the people who, who spend a lot of time thinking about this, are also worried about social norms, because especially when it comes to comedians, because they see them as, again, they are the ones normalizing this language. They think, let's say, Jew to Jew, right? Like, if there
How did you know I was Jewish?
How on earth could I possibly... Like, if there's a white nationalist comic who got really popular, right? Like, on the Richard Spencer circuit, and they're just saying kike all the time, and they normalize saying kike, and other people see him saying kike, and they think I'm just saying kike over and over again. This will get clipped now somewhere, but... And like, anyway, like...
Kike,
right? Heeb, just throw that in there. Like, other people see it, and they're like, oh, that's normalized. And that becomes part of the language, and that becomes part of acceptable behavior. And that's what you're fighting back against, because comedians have that power. They deter, oh, well, that's funny. You can, and it goes from a comedian can say it to, oh, anyone can say it, because that's funny is.
Well, let me ask you this.
That's where the social responsibility comes in.
Let me answer this question, then everybody can answer. He asked me, let me answer. He said, Judah Jew, not Judah.
I'm Jewish. I did my 23andMe. I'm Jewish. No, the only thing
what
I don't
town
like
in the Ukraine
is what
24
is comics me, going after other comics. Square people go and do what they do. But comics, when you're square, you're square.
Yeah, well, look, I believe if comics are supposed
can
to say what
the
they...
direct question?
Well, you said comics shouldn't go after other comics.
Jordan asked me a direct question.
I have a point about that. Well, I guess never mind.
He's right. Let's just let the question hang there without an answer and go on to something else.
Let's get the. I want to hear the answer.
No, I'm sorry.
No, and then we'll get
it makes no sense. The answer is you can always. For instance, I'm a very, 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 very strong free speech guy. But yeah, if you ask me, so you think they should show ISIS bomb making videos on YouTube? I'm like, there are these tough cases. If you have some comedian out there, like, just calling people the N-word, laughing at how dumb black people are in kikes and how choop you, at some point I'll be like, yeah.
Well, when you say laughing at how dumb black people are, just to clarify, you're not saying black people are dumb.
Come on, Dan.
I just had to clarify because...
Really, you had to clarify?
But my thing is, don't listen to his podcast. He didn't put it out there to be heard by everybody.
Yeah, you're not just worrying about your listening. You're also listening. It's like, well, what does he do? Like, he gets popular. What does that do to the culture? What does that do? What ideas does he make acceptable to everyone else?
People are going to do what they're going to do, don't you think? I don't think they're going to go, hey, look at this fat idiot. I'm going to be like him. You know,
Jordan, I don't think in good faith you could tell me that you think what this guy did that got fired from SNL is an example of what of the hypothetical you just gave me, which is basically describing overt hateful racism being normalized. And by the way, I'm at the point now where I say, you know what? I don't give a shit. Like, they can go on. I'm telling you, I really don't care what people say or joke about. I don't care.
I don't either. It's like the Michael Jackson documentary. To me, that's way weirder. Everybody in America watched that fucking thing about kids getting fucked and assholes spreading. I couldn't watch it. But, like, I do a pedophilia joke, and I'm an asshole.
Well, we all do.
You just watched a fucking documentary. I can't watch that. To me, that's way weirder. We watched Ted Bundy up the ass all day long. Jim Norton had a great point about it. The biggest movie is now about a clown killing children. That's the biggest movie in America. And then jokes are the problem? I don't get it. Jokes. It's a thing on in a microphone.
The point is that he wasn't perceived to have been joking by some.
I know, but we have to make them realize this podcast is in the comedy section on iTunes. You know, that should be noted. That's all I'm
saying.
But
even in a comedy podcast, one could theoretically be a racist.
Sure, but he's allowed to be a racist.
Yeah, but and so this is the
well,
this
if he
is,
feel look, if I believe that he felt in his heart hatred toward Chinese people, then I would be more on board with SNL's decision.
I agree.
I don't feel that. And I certainly don't feel there's evidence to suggest that.
But are there things, Mark, that you would never say even in the context of comedy?
Yes, of course.
I guess probably, yeah.
But why? No.
Just for scared of getting beat up and hated.
Yeah, not because I was about to say not because he doesn't want to fuck
but
with his audience.
But because of a sense of like, oh, it's immoral.
No.
Not comedy immoral. What? No. I mean, Louis C.K. had the joke about 9/11 jerking off right after.
Yeah.
That's a great joke.
But he did that when he was a genius.
Him. That's more about him.
It was okay for him to do that then because he was the genius then.
Yeah,
right?
He's still a genius.
No, but I'm saying like
I get
in the public,
it. I get it.
Like,
I get it. Yeah.
But, so this is the other. It's I don't. I'm not saying Gillis did this. I don't want to say this is what he was attempting, but just like hypothetically,
yes.
Like really hateful motherfuckers use comedy all the time as a cover, right? Like
right.
If you talk about like actual white nationalists on 8chan or whatever who are now going shooting up schools or whatever, like all that starts with as a joke if you read how they operate. And then the lighter version of that is, okay, when is it? So this is, again, the thing that a lot of people are
it
I don't
possible.
Think there's a hard and fast rule. A lot of people, when they see these routines, they're doing the math in their heads like, is this a joke or is it cover for him just saying something sort of hateful?
It is possible to be a comedian and hateful at the same time.
Yes.
They're not mutually
yes.
exclusive. That
necessary.
Certainly can,
and so that
can we pull that off.
I'm sorry. Let one of these people complaining about this also complain about the New York Times hiring Sarah Jeong or the millions of other incidents that have gone on. And then I'll say, you know what? At least they're consistent. But so long as they're cherry-picking whatever it is, they're going to come at this guy, not at Chappelle.
No, but
they'll come at Louis after the sexual allegations,
everybody's
but it was perfectly fine before.
Chappelle.
They can all go fuck themselves. They're all full of shit.
They're
I don't think so. I think they just
Chappelle.
Have a more nuanced view of it.
No, because they're not. No,
you're like, oh, if somebody says one thing hateful, somebody else says something else hateful, then they're both equal, right? And therefore, both should get fired, or none should get fired.
If you have
whereas
two examples,
some might say,
of
well,
this, if you have
a white person saying something hateful towards an Asian versus a Asian person saying something hateful towards a white person, because of the history, there's some categorical difference there.
It's punching up, punching down rule, right?
No,
like that's the rough rule
but
of thumb.
I
think when Asians is punching up. They're killing it. They're number one in everything.
Hold
they're
on
better
a second.
Than white people.
I'm sorry.
That's
I,
a racist
you know
notion.
No.
Wait, I really, hold on, Keith.
They're better than white people.
Hold on.
Yes.
There is something bothersome to me, and it's happening a lot now, to say that a woman on the editorial board of the New York Times is punching down when she speaks abusively of old white men. At some point, you know what? Maybe in general, I get your point, but you are one of a handful of elites in the world right now, lady. And you're punching down at some guy who probably, you know, barely has two pennies to the other. So you know what? Stop. I think that it's time now to start saying, we need to be better than that, looking for excuses to forgive everybody of certain DNA to basically indulge whatever jokes, whatever hate, whatever they want to come out of their mouth, because that was not Martin Luther King's dream.
Sure.
The goal was supposed to be everybody gets treated the same.
Right.
And you know what? We live in a world now where you can say anything you want so long as you can describe it as punching up, even if it's hateful, even if it's racist, even if it's foul as can be.
Yeah.
And you, I was punching up. I can say whatever the fuck I want. That's bullshit. If you're offended by the idea of racial hate.
Sure.
If you're offended by the idea of racial hate, then it shouldn't matter whether you're punching up or punching down. Because if you're enjoying the racial hate, but I can do it because I'm punching up, but boy, this feels good, that's fucking hypocrisy.
I agree.
That is bullshit.
I grew up in a black neighborhood, and I got made fun of a lot, and it fucking hurt. But I wasn't like, well, I'm white. It still hurts. You know, it's still race on race.
Yeah, I agree with that. So you should have the conversation with Sarah about why you got offended by her tweets, rather than her getting fired. In the same way, the agents.
I don't want her fired. I never wanted her fired.
But you did get offended by it.
You know what?
It sounds like you're quite upset about it.
I know.
But he didn't do anything about it. He didn't get her fired.
I'm not offended by the tweets. I'm offended by the fact that the New York Times, which makes a living out of calling people out for racism, was ready to look the other way because she was punching. They said she was counter-trolling.
Yeah,
really?
I don't think anybody should be able to say anything just because you're punching up. Like, that doesn't give you like a carte blanche. But you should have a little bit more leeway. That's all I'm saying.
No leeway. I don't want.
No, you
listen,
think all leeway.
Listen,
you're leeway
entire
for
okay,
leeway.
So let me tell you. So
leeway.
I'm a Jew, right? I don't like people saying bad things about Jews. Just let's hear me out. And what you're saying is that, but if I can find a situation where I'm punching up, I should be able to do exactly the same thing that I don't like done to me, and I should get more leeway for it. And I'm like, no, I don't want to permit myself. I don't understand the moral calculation. Hold on, I'll answer in a second. I don't understand the moral calculation of saying, I'm going to permit myself more leeway. Ah, oh, this feels good. I have more leeway to do what it is that I find totally unacceptable when people do it to me.
Yeah, it's
come on now.
No, no. So here's what the calculation is, right? It's here's the math.
Am I missing something?
Yeah, I think you are.
I have leeway now.
Yeah.
So you know what? Who can I punch up? I want to erase a resentment. Who can I say it about?
There aren't a lot of people we can punch up at. We're doing well, but like the
Asians are doing well.
The thing. Okay, again, it comes back to the.
Number one is Indians in terms of income.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. I can't punch up.
The punching down thing, again, it's the idea of like, are you normalizing the idea of demeaning a helpless minority that has been oppressed? That is the math. Are you making it easier to keep oppressing this one group? Is your
not
joke?
Oppressed.
But
so I think they would push back against
would,
that.
Yeah. That would be the.
But you should, have the
math.
Conversation with them.
Okay,
about
at the point where the group of people that is the most successful in the nation feels oppressed
economically.
What else is there? Economically.
Well, if they're trying to be, let's say, represented in Congress, for example, are they
culturally?
Well, nobody's oppressing Congress people.
Are people like, oh, I don't want to vote for a Chinese guy, for example?
I have no idea.
They vote Nikki Haley. Hold on, Keith.
They
vote Nikki Haley as governor in a
half Indian, half white,
in a red state. Just hold on a second. The idea I want to say one thing. The idea that you can take groups that successful and call them in many ways.
What other ways?
And call
lower rates of incarceration.
Okay.
For one.
Beautiful houses. Go to the best schools.
Beautiful houses is a weird metric.
I'm saying,
But Alinga, you're Indian American.
I can't get my sentence out. You're going to describe however you want to describe that as an oppressed group.
Yeah.
You are gutting the concept of oppression because you're using the same word to describe Asians who are being limited because they're so successful with poor black guys getting beaten up by the police.
I don't think so.
Another oppressed group, right?
No, I think, Alinga, you
should not dare to use the same word to describe what's happening to Chinese people and what's happening to black guys being beat up by the cops. That's a fucking outrage.
There's nuance. People, Asians wouldn't be like, we are getting oppressed in the same ways that black people are.
Are you outraged?
Yes, they're not even the same universe.
If I can interject.
There are a lot of Asians.
It's not just
Chinese and Japanese. Alingon
is Indian. He went to a fine school and he grew up, I assume, at least middle class. Do you feel in any way oppressed in America? And if so, how?
Good question.
I personally haven't faced it, no. But I think others have.
Do you feel
like everybody's had their incidents? I
was a loner. Like, I never hung out with anybody. So I didn't have the opportunity.
Why don't you just deal with the whole thing with the comic? Can comics say anything they want?
Yes.
And you can say anything you want, right? And I did that through school or whatever. And I got punched 9 years out of 12 for saying anything I wanted.
Were you punched by any Asian people?
Absolutely.
Okay, so I stand corrected. So, an earlier statement I made.
But what I'm saying is, you can say what you want, but you got to expect a response for saying what you want.
Yes, but corporate America, ought to be pushed in some way to lay down some kind of objective standard that they believe in, and then fucking live by. If this is about morality and offense, rather than just what we can get away with and what we can't, then you got to say, listen, NBC, we will no longer present anything that has the following words and the following thing. And you know what? If it means Dave Chappelle, we're not putting Chappelle on either.
But they
make the nuance up as they go along. If you can, to be fair, you have to be able to lay out, just like the law, lay out a standard, a prospective standard. Say,
but
look,
then judges
these are the
decide
rules.
If there's nuance within there.
So you can distinguish between Kevin Hart's tweet and Dave Chappelle's joke about Michael Jackson's victim and this guy's podcast?
Who am I?
That's it. You're a genius for fucking nuance if you can distinguish that.
No, I think it's like a mass.
Well,
there is no distinguishing it.
We have to fall back on SNL made a business decision, which you disagree with, Noam, but their accountants may have other, and their stockholders may or may not.
If
something came through here, Noam, that affect your money, some comic, whatever, that affected your money, and the people you noticed was going down and down, you would have to make that decision.
You know what? You of all people ought to know better.
You would have
how
to
many
make
spots you have this week?
Well, Noam has admitted. Noam has admitted that he would have buckled eventually if the Louis C.K. pressure became too intense.
Right.
However, it did not become intense.
So why are we criticizing SNL?
Why were you criticizing the Oscars for firing Kevin Hart?
Because that's my friend. Right. I told you.
Yeah, it's a good joke.
Being a hypocrite.
It's a good joke, but that's right. That's the point. Is that let's not. This is my whole argument here. Is that I want to hear somebody lay out something which I can in 10 seconds find to be hypocritical.
I
might agree with it.
It's not hypocritical. Let me say this for real, because I don't believe that you should go back and pick somebody's tweet up. That was 10 years ago.
It was 7 years ago, yeah.
It's 10 years.
Kevin Hart's tweet?
Yes.
I thought it was 7. Okay, whatever. I thought it was 7 years.
You can't unearth that like it's a police record.
That's what they did to this dude.
Bah, 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 bah,
2018, so this dude.
I think, I said this before, I think there should be a statute of limitations on your tweets or whatever. Give me some, like everything else. How about you,
Ryder?
Yeah,
I think people can grow. That's the whole point. Like you have, you talk to him, you explain it to them, and they can, like, he doesn't find that joke. Like, he wouldn't say it today, right?
Oh, the
Kevin Hart?
Who knows? Yeah, probably not.
No, but partially because he recognized that people might feel offended by it, and partially because he realized there would be a backlash behind it. But that's how you grow.
Who knows? Kevin Hart's also adorable.
Don't use the word grow. I don't know what you mean.
That's got to count for something.
I think realizing other people are affected by what you're saying is great.
Jane Gillis ain't adorable.
No. Yes, if that's the reason he's doing it. But shutting up because you know you're going to get yourself in trouble is not growth.
I agree with that. But I think this is
self-censorship.
It is, but that's growth too. Like 86.
It's not moral growth.
I was on a show called Our Voices with Chris Rock and whoever else was on there. And I was trashing Eddie Murphy in 86. Like, Eddie Murphy stole, jumped, I was running my mouth. Now, I'm growing up now to know better. That was the dumbest thing I could do. But I didn't know that back then because I didn't think I'll ever meet Eddie Murphy.
That's
so gross. when you grow up a little bit and you know a little bit more, you know, oh, I can't say all this stuff. And I knew that, oh, that was wrong.
Yeah.
Also, it's like at some point, I'm sure Kevin Hart might look at those tweets now, look at those tweets now and say, yeah, they weren't funny.
But it's not that they weren't funny in that time, they're not now.
Like, that's the growth. It's like, oh, it's not funny anymore. Yeah.
Well, listen,
times change, what's funny?
If we were sitting at a table and that same conversation that went on the podcast went on and somebody used the word chinks at the comedian table, we've heard these words before. No comedian would get up and walk away. No comedian would say, "How dare you speak that way?" Everybody'd laugh. They'd understand. They'd understand the spirit and the end of the moment and kind of where the outrageous place that the guy was coming from, as Mark Normand very well described.
That's the nuance.
And that's right. And that's, so what happens in a podcast is that you forget yourself, and it comes out, and you don't, and you're a nobody, and you have a few hundred listeners anyway. You're not making the decision to go national with it. You think, it's basically under the radar. Although it is downloadable to the world, it still nevertheless is under the radar. And now they take this guy and they unearth it, and it's not fair.
But when people say they are offended by it, I have the conversation with those people.
No, you asked for it.
Dude, I said up front, of course people are offended by it. I was offended by Mel Gibson. I'm saying that is a very weak and highly subjective standard to start meeting out punishment to people's careers because they offended somebody.
You asked for a standard. Is this an appropriate standard? Yes or no? The standard is if they're in their honest opinion, it would be bad for business, which, by the way, is the same way you make business decisions. You don't have a hard and fast rule as to which comedians you use necessarily or which waitress you're going to hire and fire. But if you feel it's bad for business, you make the decision.
They can do what they want, of course. They didn't have to give Mel Gibson the movie.
I'm saying
that they're miscalculating. I think
it was a bad business decision, as you've said.
I think the public, I think if the head of NBC came out and said, listen, here at NBC, we decided we're going to give, just like we give amnesty to undocumented aliens, we're going to give amnesty. That's what NBC would say. I would say illegal. Just because we're going to give amnesty to everybody's back tweets and back podcasts and all the things that they said before they knew the world was watching. What you say from this point on is going to matter to us. But we don't want to take part in this in this Bob. this bloodlust that's been going on right and left to just try to find anything that anybody ever said and ruin
and
them.
I think
they would get applauded for such a statement.
And I also think that the next time they hired somebody, this wouldn't happen, and they would have more freedom going forward to make decisions because they would have made it clear that we're not going to listen to our public when it comes to hiring decisions.
That would be my business
and
decision.
And by the way, Noam, I want to thank you, by the way, for losing your shit on this podcast. I thought it was very entertaining. And I also thought the point you just made about what SNL should have said, I'm ready to get up and applaud you. Noam thinks I fucking poo-poo everything he says. I'm going to stand up right now and give you an ovation. That was beautiful.
Oh, what's that for?
About, for what he said about we're going to give amnesty, and from this point forward, what you say matters, but we're going to give amnesty for all tweets and podcasting.
Yeah,
and I thought that was
my statute of limitations. He's a thief.
Yeah, but he made it his own.
Yeah, I mean, that's like, okay. That raises questions, though, right? It's like,
everything are you giving?
And because like, this is the problem. It's not clean. It's like, well, did you hire the guy? Did you? Let's say you put out that standard. Let's say they hired Shane under that standard, right? And then this all came out, and a lot of people were asking, well, did SNL know about this and find it funny? And are they hiring because of that? Are they making room for themselves to hire people? Like, you know, are they tacitly endorsing that kind of shit? And that's the question that then becomes.
How do you feel about Kevin Williamson being fired at the Atlantic?
Oh, I played a role in that.
Now you just lost me, Keith, and maybe
I played a minor role.
We'll talk about it off the air.
Oh yeah. Oh, Kevin's story is. I mean, there's so many fucking. That's like, but it's media bullshit anyway.
Can you hang out a little bit after the show?
Oh yeah.
I gotta run.
Yeah,
this is great though.
Lingon, I'm sorry that I said you're talking out of both sides of your mouth.
Oh no, that's fine.
He didn't. At least
but that's the point. Just have the conversation. That's what we're doing.
Lingon,
I like that.
On a scale of 1 to 10,
yes.
How would you have rate this episode?
Oh, this one was a good one.
I thought so too.
Yeah. All right,
I thought so too.
So I wanted to talk to you about Barry White. Your book review about Barry Weiss and now Kevin Williamson. We could talk over a drink now.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
Keith, you know, I'm sorry I made the joke about, I don't care how much money we lose, you always have a home here at the Comedy Cellar. Good night, everybody.
Good night.